Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5, 34 minutes after the hour on this Monday morning. Hope everyone is doing well out there. Joining us now, got to congratulate this guy on his reelection, the chairmanship of the Baldwin County Republican Party over the weekend. Michael Hoyt joins us on the line. Michael, how are you this morning?
Jeff, I'm great. Thank you very much. How are you?
Doing well. Well, first, real quick, election. It looks like things went pretty well for you guys in Baldwin County. As far as I could tell, any thoughts on what happened earlier this month?
Well, obviously, we're disappointed with the result nationally as far as the presidential election, if that shakes out indeed the what we perceive to be the wrong way. But in Baldwin County and in Alabama at large, you know, we continue to become even more of a red state. We captured back our Senate seat so that each a constitutional office and federal office in Alabama, except for one congressional seat, is held by the Republican Party. So we're very pleased with that. We're very pleased with our results in Baldwin County, particularly with the growth in population since our last presidential cycle in 16, and our numbers increased even more. So we're very pleased with the direction that that we're heading here in Baldwin County.
You know, Baldwin County, really, you mentioned this, with all the new people moving in, not really suffering the same fate as some places. We have a lot of migration of people bringing maybe perhaps other ideas about politics to your location, that you still seem to be kind of maintaining a pretty steady ship.
Yeah, we're very pleased with that. And that just shows you that, you know, Baldwin County draws people that, I saw a shirt advertised somewhere that said, "Don't California my Alabama." And so that, I thought that was pretty good. And so we hope that people would not want to come here from places that are absolute disasters that are run by Democrats. And I mean, that's, and the examples of those are multiple all over the country. Any major metropolitan area is a total disaster. And they're all run by Democrats, and so people flee those areas, and then they so often go to other places and ruin those areas too, voting in the same way. And fortunately, we don't have that here. And I can tell you that of the many, many calls that I received during and up through this election cycle, so many out-of-state people, and I mean from New Jersey and other all other kind of places, Ohio, very conservative people. So hopefully what's happening for Baldwin County is these red people are leaving blue areas, and they're just making our area stronger, and we're grateful for that.
Chairman, the thing I wanted to get you on, you gave a kind of opening remarks at your meeting in Robertsdale on Saturday. The threat of obviously with Joe Biden becoming president is that we could face some kind of shutdown order. That, you know, it was shutdown, we learned from the last experience with it, not exactly really good for the economy. It puts a lot of people in a bad place. But the threat of a shutdown, I don't know what kind of how they would do it from the federal level, if they could even do it, if that was constitutional or not. But it does seem to be something we need to be on guard for.
It's interesting, Jeff, that the mantra from the far left, of course, is that Trump and his people are fascists, they're Nazis, and yet what's the first thing we hear from Biden's Corona advisor is we need a 4 to 6 week shutdown. So they're the ones that are absolutely willing to try to use the power of a central authority, just like a fascist or a totalitarian would, to exact their will. But a lot of people are confused, particularly on the left, about the form of government that we have. And they talk about democracy and the votes and all of that. We don't live in a democracy. In fact, a pure democracy is not a good form of government. It's a very bad form of government. As you know, we're in a representative republic. We're 50 individual sovereigns that unite under a federal umbrella for a lot of things, but we don't elect a dictator. The president in Washington, D.C. doesn't tell businesses what they, whether they can operate or not. It's up to the individual states. I question whether even state governors have the power to do this within their states, like Governor Whitmer in Michigan and others. And I think they're going to be challenged by their state legislatures when those get back in session. So I don't know that even a governor can do it. Certainly the president can't do it. And we've already seen Governor Tate Reeves of Mississippi, who has come out and, you know, I'm just quote his exact words, is we're not going to participate in a nationwide lockdown. end quote. And I think you're going to hear governors from all across the country that are going to echo that. And so what's going to happen is the same ones that's going to shut down is the same blue states whose economies are totally ravaged at this point. And they're just going to continue to punish their people. I don't understand it. I really don't. It's very detrimental to our country.
Well, and look, I Governor Ivey, we did the shutdown. It had a devastating impact. But if they try this at the federal level, it seems like you're going to have Tay Reeves already said he's unopposed, and I would assume DeSantis in Florida would do the same. Don't we need to be on guard at the state level in pushing back against any effort to shut down the country on a national level?
Absolutely. And even Governor Ivey, you know, once we kind of moved into phase three and we started transitioning back open, she expressed a lot of regret. If you go back and look at what she said, it was an error and it was a mistake to list businesses as essential or non-essential and basically to shut things down. And in retrospect, that was a mistake to do that. Because as you know, I mean, it was a farce, Jeff. Well, we shut down mom and pops. We shut down small businesses. We say, go line up at Sam's Club. Go line up at Walmart or Lowe's. That's not people still have to eat and have to have groceries and have to provide for their families. It's not going to happen again. Not down here, but our legislatures need to be vigilant. And you'll notice Governor Ivey and governors in other states who've had mask mandates, they're not calling their legislature back for special sessions, even though they had abbreviated sessions for COVID. And the reason for that is their concern about the legislature calling them to account or clawing back some of these powers. Just as we know that Senator Tuberville knows we have three branches of government, one of them's judiciary, but I think a lot of these governors forget there's three branches of government. And they're not, we don't elect dictators on the state level and we don't on the national level. And they do have to be held account, and they will by the people.
But you think, stress this, the legislature really needs to take a hard look at the system we have in place here, given, they haven't had the opportunity, granted, with, the session ended abruptly in 2020, and we're looking to 2021. But they need to take a look at the executive authorities given to, under code to the governor in these emergency situations.
It's very concerning, and I was looking back at the code, and it's the Alabama Emergency Management Act of 1955. And of course, probably the concern then was the Red Scare and nuclear war and that kind of thing was probably what was in mind in natural disasters. But the language in those statutes is very frightening, particularly 31.98, which says that the governor, can declare this emergency, and it can be for public health reasons. It lasts for 60 days. Unless she extends it by proclamation with no end in sight. And there's nothing in the statute. And there's nothing referencing the legislature other than that the lieutenant governor and the speaker can try to may petition the governor to call a special session. Of course, she doesn't have to do that. In a lot of states, I know New Jersey is an example, and I'm sure there's others, that a joint session of the legislature, by joint resolution, they can terminate a declaration of emergency by the executive branch. I don't think we have that here. And I think we've got to really look from top to bottom at our emergency management statutes and really claw back the authority of the governor's office and the state health executive. It's very concerning.
I mean, it's not so much, may or may not be worried about Governor Ivey, taking liberty and abusing that authority, but we don't know what kind of future governments or future governors you could have. What if there is a Governor Walt Maddox, and you see what's going on in Tuscaloosa? They've been much more strict than a lot of places in Alabama. That it seems like, if you do have that scenario where you have a governor willing to go that extra mile and abuse that authority, that you just got to have some kind of fail safes in place.
It should be a bipartisan concern of all citizens who value individual liberty and freedom to have as little power as possible concentrated up in Montgomery. And that's something we should all be able to agree on, Democrat or Republican. And I think most good citizens do. And so absolutely, it would be most terrible for us to be in a situation like they are in Michigan and other places where, you know, by sheer edict, the governor walks up to a podium and closes down businesses, shuts people in their homes, closes down in-person dining in restaurants. This is people who don't understand risk and reward and how economies work. And, you know, they talk about this 4 to 6 weeks, we can do this till it's safe. Well, Jeff, when will life be safe for everybody? And the answer to that is never. It never will be. You know, I was just looking at some stats. 4.4 million people are injured in auto accidents every year to the extent that requires some type of medical help or hospitalization. Well, imagine what you're in 40,000 deaths from auto accidents. Well, Jeff, imagine the 40,000 lives we can save and the 4.4 million people that impact the emergency rooms and medical clinics if we just shut down the interstate system, get rid of automobiles. I mean, we're talking millions of lives that are impacted.
Well,
if you take this approach to every activity in life, then we should just all sit home in a hard hat and watch TV.
Well, somebody that's involved in city government and law enforcement, you being a judge, we Chris Elliott, a state senator, you know, raised this issue. How do you even enforce something like this? Do you put the burden on local law enforcement, sheriff's departments, police departments, and you make them enforce it? That becomes a just an added burden, but it doesn't seem like it's logistically sound.
It is not logistically sound. It's almost to the it's impossible, quite frankly. There's not enough manpower. There's not enough authority to do this. So when we're talking about shutdowns or enforcing these things, you just can't do it. And you saw what Sheriff Mack said some months back when these mask mandates continued to expand it. He came on and said, we're not going to enforce these provisions. You know, we don't answer to the state health officer. And some declaration by the governor is not law. And if you look at the statute, I mean, it's a violation, and there's some provisions in there for what, you know, $500 fine or some amount of time of imprisonment. But there's no possible enforcement mechanism. And even if there would be, do we want law enforcement to exercise that type of authority? Well, man, we're getting into real scary territory here. I think the answer to that is no.
And they would argue to you, well, these aren't really going to ever be enforced. They're guidelines. They're guardrails. They're suggestions. But, I mean, we're starting to, like, really kind of cross the boundaries in what government does and doesn't when you say a mandate or an ordinance is maybe strongly encouraged and not law, right?
Well, we're getting into unprecedented territory, and they can say that all they want. If you look at the Emergency Management Act, it says violations of this provision are subject to a penalty of up to $500 fine and up to 6 months in the city jail or some type of – or the county jail. So to say that, oh, these are guidelines or suggestions, they are – on paper have the force of law and potentially, you know, the heavy hand of government that can put you in jail for violating it. This, you know, I think that we've got to be very careful here. And when we're allowing the government to pick winners and losers as far as businesses are concerned, or individual choices that people make, I'm shocked and perplexed, Jeff, that our friends on the other side of the political spectrum who are always about choice and choosing this for their body or making these choices are the first ones to mandate everybody to shove a mask over their face. You know, we were told, we put so much faith in government, Jeff, we look back in, if you recall, the first part of this pandemic back in March, we were told, don't wear a mask. Not only will masks not help you, they're harmful, and they're harmful for everybody else. So we went for 3 or 4 months without masks. You know, we're told, don't touch anything, so everybody's going to the grocery store in rubber gloves and a, you know, plastic suit. Then we're told, well, maybe masks are helpful, so maybe you should wear those. And now we're told you always got to wear a mask, and but at the same token, 80% of those infected by it are also mask wearers. So I think that when we put too much faith in government, you know, government rarely has answers to our problems, and usually when they do, it's the wrong answer. So we, why we put faith in a failed system that can't even deliver letters without going into $200 billion deficits a year is astounding to me.
Chairman, we're up against the break. We got to leave it there, but I do thank you for your time this morning. We got to do this again real soon.
Will do, Jeff. Thank you, sir. Great talking to you.
All right. Baldwin County Republican Party Chairman Michael Hoyt, ladies and gentlemen, joining us on the program. Well, we got to get another break in. We will return. This is the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5.